The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Nunhe. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihanu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nundav Amud Bet, Perek Haskat Batim. And we are at Rav Huna. It's 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. Rav Huna Zavan Ara'a Me'oved Kochavim. So what does it say? Rav Huna, he bought a piece of land from a goy. Ata Yisrael Aher. So another Jew came in the interim, so he paid him. So the goy got the money. We learned on the last Gemara, on yesterday's daf, that when you pay the goy the money, the kinyan is not complete until the Jew actually makes a hazakah, or he gets a shtar. Until that point, the Jew doesn't own it, and the goy relinquishes ownership. So therefore the field is really hefker. So technically a third guy can come in and just take over the field. Right. The Rashbam told us that guy's a Rasha, if he does such a thing. But, technically, he can do that. And that's what happened over here. It says, Ata Yisrael Aher, Rafik Bapurta. So he made a little digging in the field. He dug a little. Ata Lekamed Rav Nachman. He came in front of Rav Nachman. Ukme Beyade. He said, it's yours. Yeah. So you see Rav Nachman also is like Shemuel. That was one of the proofs that the Rashbam was posek like Shemuel. In this case, he said, Rav Nachman also agrees with him. Amale, my da'atich. Well, what's your opinion? The Amar Shemuel, Nechse Oved Kuchavim, Arin Kemidbar, Vechol Mahazik Behem Zacha. Is that what you hold? You're like Shemuel? That the Chasim of a goy, when you buy it from him, he gets paid. So then the field becomes like a midbar, first come, first serve. The first guy that gets it is the owner. Is that what you hold? The avid li mor ki idak de Shmuel. Why don't you hold like the other Shmuel? Shmuel made many statements. You're taking that statement of Shmuel. Why don't you take the other statement of Shmuel? Well, what is the other statement? Da amar Shmuel lo kana ela makom makusho bilvad. Remember we learned on yesterday's daf as well, that according to Shmuel, when you have a field, let's say of a hefker, it's a nechseh ger. Let's say ger that died, has no relatives. So he said, when you go into the field and you dig in it, you only koneh the spot where you dug. You don't koneh the whole area. You only koneh that specific spot. So therefore, what happened over here was, and back to the story, Rav Huna bought a piece of land, right? So Rav Huna went to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman told him, sorry, the other guy, other guy got it. So he says, what, you're going like Shmuel? Why don't you at least take the other Shmuel that says he should only acquire where he dug? Why are you giving him the whole field? Give him, a dig's worth. Don't give him the whole field. She says, if already holding like Shmuel, so follow Shmuel.
Right.
Follow him consistently. I give him only Kedem Makusho. Says, Rav Nachman says, oh, when it comes to that halakha, I don't follow Shmuel on that. Amar le behai, ana kishmatin svirali. On that case, I hold like you. And what does Rav Huna hold? Because Rav Huna was the one in the story over here. Damar Rav Huna marav, kevan shenikesh b'makush echad, kana kula. Once he digs one dig, he's going to hit the whole field. So therefore he told him, sorry, the guy went, he made one dig. I hold like you in that case, that one digging is going to hit the whole field. And I hold like Shmuel that says the field is midbar, and therefore... Sorry, you lose out. Top line, top Rashbam. Li'avit mor kidak de Shmuel. Now, the Rashbam has a simple question of it. Rashbam says, why didn't he tell him, li'avit, go like the other Shmuel of dinah de malchuta dinah? If you remember, that was the whole contradiction with Shmuel. Shmuel said in one place that, what, he acquired a field. The guy, the third guy that comes in and takes the field, is kimidbar, he gets the field.
But then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Well, dinah de malchut adinah. The Guyim hold that you're not koneh a field till you have a shtar. And therefore, since the Guyim hold that you don't own a field till you have a shtar, this guy doesn't have a shtar. So it shouldn't be his. So the Gemara could have asked, Rav Huna could have asked Anav Nachman, you're taking this Shemuel, why do you take the other Shemuel of dinah de malchut adinah? He asked from the other Shemuel of lo kana ela makom makusho bilvad. He asked from that statement of Shemuel, that you only koneh the place of the digging. But he could have asked also from the dinah de malchut adinah if he wanted to. But what else is, he didn't ask from that, because that you could have answered. Because just like we learned on yesterday's daf, that Yosef answered that question. How did Yosef answer it? He held that the dinah de malchut adinah was, you don't need a shtar. They all, you don't need a shtar to be koneh. They all, you know, exactly how the dinah de malchut did not work. So he didn't ask them from that contradiction of dinah de malchut adinah, because that anyway he could have answered, the Guyim even hold you don't need a shtar. So if I'm not worried from that, but what I'm concerned about is the enyan of makusho, that you only koneh, that's fine. No, not all, I hold like Rav, you own the whole field. That's what Rashbam says on top over there. Okay, so come to Gemara and says, continues. Shalach Ravuna bar Avin. Ravuna bar Avin sent. Yisrael shelakach sadeh me'ovet kochavim. Our story. Yisrael that bought a field from a goy. Uba Yisrael acher ve'azik ba. En motzi'in ota miyado. Clearly, the third guy that's koneh, that makes the hazakah on it, he owns it. So you see, more rabbis are agreeing with Shemuel. Vechen haya Rabbi Abin ve'Rabbi Ila ve'chol rabotenu shavim bedavar. So you see, already have a whole slew of rabbis. Shemuel, Rav Nachman, and now Rav Huna bar Avin, and then all the rabbis, Rav Avin, Rav Bil'a, v'chor Rav Botenu, they all agree to this halakha. Okay, that's what Rav Huna bar Avin sent, all those laws. And how the Gemara says three halakhot. Amar Rabba, Hani Talat Mile, the following three halakhot, Ishta'i Li, was told over to me by Okban bar Nehemia. Resh Geluta was the Resh Galut. His name was Okban bar Nehemia. Mishemeh de Shmuel. Following three halakhot was said over in the name of Shmuel. What are the three halakhot? Number one, Dina de Malchuta Dina. The law of the land is the law. If you remember, we learned in Masechet Baba Kama, what was the proof that they proved that Dina de Malchuta Dina, that the law of the land, whatever the Goyim do, that's considered law. Because they would steal people's trees, and then they would go build bridges. And we're allowed to go on their bridges, even though it's stolen. It's like, once they hold that, to them it's not stealing, so therefore for us it's also okay to benefit from their bridges. Of course, dinat makhutah is a whole subject in itself, but it seems that if the government has certain laws that they hold as binding, so that comes binding halakhically also for Jewish people as well. Second thing is, va'arisuta de parsa'eh ad mem shenim. That the hazakah that the people of Paras make is 40 years. Normally we said if Israel is on a field, how long is the hazakah? 3 years. 3 years and already can claim that it's yours. However, the people of Paras, I'm reading Rashbam's Lashon, Inameh atal ashme'inan da'afagav t'vishar mekumot avi hazakah l'isabegim l'shanim b'eris Paras. If we're talking about Jews now. Jews that live in Eris Paras, Ena hazakah befachot memem shanim. The hazakah is not less than 40 years. Why? The dinah de malchuta hu shem ken. That's the dinah de malchuta over there. That's a manifestation of dinah de malchuta. Since over there in Paras, the hazakah is a 40-year item, so therefore a Jew in Paras, he's got all the laws that we learned in the beginning of the Perek. With hazakah, it's a 40-year situation. That's the second pshat in the Rashbam. First pshat is, I'm going to read it in the Rashbam, Arisad de Paras arbim shanim, Chazkat Parasiim, the hazakah of the Parasiim mem shanim hi. Al yedeh dinah de malchuta daf agav de lo kani inish ela bishtar. Normally a person is koneh, you need a shtar. But if you don't have a shtar, let's say, miu imi azik ba akum. But if the goy lived on the field, according to the first one, it's a goy. If the goy lived on the field, mem shanim, uba yisrael vekana memenu, and now a Jew came and bought the field from the goy, have kinyan gamur, velo yuchal yisrael achaloma shelihi, shegazla akum memeni. Which means, the hadush over here is, a Jew bought a field from a goy, and the goy was living on the field for 40 years. Once the Jew buys it, another Jew cannot come along and say, that field was stolen. Because once the goy had a hazakah of 40 years, you could assume that it is
his, and therefore he sold it to the Jew, and therefore another Jew cannot come and claim that it was stolen.
Even though we say, Yisrael abba machmat akum, hareu ke'akum, ve'en lo hazaka, ela ba'ushtara, shemakra Yisrael akum, haka yesh lo hazaka.
Normally, we say, just like a goy doesn't have a hazaka, so a Jew doesn't have a hazaka as well. So technically, you got to prove that normally, in a regular case, you got to prove that what? That the field really belonged to the goy. He's got to prove it, he's got to have a shtar. Mashenken, in this case, in Paraz, hazaka they had goyim. And how long was the hazaka for? For 40 years. So again, there's two pshatim of it. Either a Jew has to have, for him to have a hazaka, it's got to be 40 years if he's in Paraz, because they had the makodadina. Or if a Jew buys a field from a goy, and then somebody else comes and contests it and says, hey, that's my field. So the deen is, if the goy lived on it for 40 years, that's considered a hazaka, and you cannot contest it.
Comes the Gemara and says, the third halacha, Vehane zaharure. Who are these zaharure? Rashbam says, these are ba'alei nahalot ha'ashirim, wealthy people.
They would, what would these wealthy people do?
So look at the Rashbam. Ba'alei nahalot ha'ashirim, these wealthy landowners, kunim me'avdei ha'melech sadot aniyei ha'ir.
They go and they buy property that belongs to the aniyim of the city.
They
can't afford to pay the tax, so therefore they go and buy all these lands.
Then put in the mass, and they pay the tax for these people, land tax.
Remember, we learned already on the previous that that's also dinad de malchuta. The one that pays the taxes,
normally, in order to acquire a field by the goyim, they said you need a shtar.
However, if you're buying the field in order to pay the taxes that's been overdue, then already you don't have to need a shtar. Then already, just the one that pays the taxes, he's the owner of the field.
So the Gemara says like this,
these wealthy people that are going and buying up the fields of the aniyim,
the zabin alal the taska, that they buy the fields for the land tax, zavinu zavine,
their sale is a sale. Which means, even though they don't have a shtar, look at the first white line in the Rashbam.
Zebininu zebine. Mashikorin hakarka of the amelech b'shvil amas, shenotnim mechram kayam. Didina debalchuta dina vim yachzru ba'alim l'shvil amas.
Let's say, the original aniyim, they become rich now. And they want to come and get their field back. It's too late. The sale is a sale. Let's say they come along and say, well, we fell into money now, we want to pay the tax. So sorry, the sale is a sale. You don't have a shtar. Doesn't matter. The government says, when you repossess a field because of no taxes, the guy that pays the tax is the owner. And therefore, that's it. The other guy cannot come along and say, oh, I want it back, I have my money now, it's too late.
So that's the Gemara says, V'hani zarurid zemin alal taska, zavinu zavin, v'hani mili le taska.
Oh, Gemara says a very important principle here. This is only talking about if it's for a land tax. Because the land tax is leaned to the land. So therefore, land tax you can take from the land. So therefore, only if you bought it from them because they're delinquent in land tax. But if they're delinquent in head tax, in their personal taxes, then you cannot buy the field. The field that you buy from them is not going to be considered a sale unless you have a shtar. The head tax is on the guy's head, literally. Which means they can't come after the fields.
Look at the Rashbam's Lashon. Rashbam's Lashon is Hani Mili. The first word on the line is Mili. The Zabinu Zabinu, when do we say that the sale is a sale? Izabin Litaskav Shemasa Karka. If they didn't pay the land tax.
That's a head tax.
Shelo Paru. And that's why the
servants of the king sold the field. Who's selling the field, by the way? The king's servants repossessed the field and sell it to somebody else. So if they're selling it because the guy was delinquent in the land tax, the sale is a sale. But if it's because he was delinquent in head tax, the sale is not a sale. The law of the land is not to sell lands for a guy who's delinquent in head tax. Why? Because the head tax is on the guy's head, so to speak. Either they catch the guy and put him in jail, or he runs away. But they never repossess land for that.
So since they don't repossess land, the sale is not a sale. The dirat al-khuda is only your old land tax. They could take the guy's land, and the guy that buys it, the sale is considered a sale. Meaning the guy that assumes it and pays the tax, he's the owner of the land. Mashaykh, if a guy's delinquent in head tax, therefore, even if the Abdel Melech says, okay, take the guy's land, the sale is not a sale. Because the head tax is not taken from the land, it's taken from the guy itself. Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua Amar, he argues. He says, Afilu Sa'are Dechada Mishtabde Lecharga. He says, not only the field is, let's say, leaned towards the tax, head tax, but even barley that's in your jug, that's in your kad, that's in your bucket, which means, according to this rabbi, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua, everything is leaned against all taxes. And therefore, according to him, even a head tax, if you took the field and you assumed the field and paid the head tax, the field is yours also. He owes everything is mortgaged towards all taxes. Sare dechada, kelomar kol metaltelin chiyesh bo ba'olam. All his metaltelin that he has in the world, mishobadim lamelech, bishvil mas rosho. For his head tax. He didn't pay. He's got to pay for whatever he has. Whatever you buy from the servants of the king, whether you buy karka or metaltalit, it belongs to you. Because everything becomes mortgaged to the king because of even the head taxes. So it's a big mahlokah over here. Big mahlokah. If a guy buys a field from the avdei ha-melech because of a head tax that's due, he says, I'll take care of the head tax that the guy owes. So according to the first rabbi, no, it's not a kinyan. Because only land taxes dinah de malchut dinah. Second rabbi says, no, the din is even for the head tax. Anything that's purchased by the king's men that sell it, the sale is indeed a sale. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Asher. Amar li Huna Bar Natan. Huna Bar Natan told me, Kashe ba Amemor. Amemor had a question on this. What's Amemor's question? Imken bitalta yirushat beno habechor. If that's the case, you were mevatel the anyan of bechor. What does that mean? You were mevatel the anyan of bechor of the firstborn. We know the law is what? The law is a person has a son, so you have to give double yirusha to the firstborn son. However, that's only from the assets that belong to the father. The father has assets that are real assets that he owns. Kid gets double. Masha'en ken, if, let's say, there's a lien on the assets. If somebody has a lien on the assets, the law of Bechor does not apply. The law of Bechor only applies once the assets are freed. But as long as there's a loan, there's a lien on the assets, there's no din of Bechor. And that's called like this. Tehavile ra'uy. Ra'ui means something that's ra'ui to be the father's, but it's really not yet. His in the sense that there's still a lien, ve'ena bechor notel bera'ui. The bechor doesn't get things that are only ra'ui to him, kebim uzak, as of something that is actually belonging to the father. Meaning, in this case over here, a guy owes head tax. Okay? Let's say he died, and he didn't pay the head tax. Okay? Now, according to this last rabbi, everything is leaned to the head tax. So that comes out, you'll never have a case of a bechor getting double. Because when the father died, all his property is now ra'ui. All his property is leaned towards the head tax. And when it's leaned towards the head tax, there's no din of bechor. So if you're going to tell me this din over here, if you're going to have, if this is true, you'll never have a case of a bechor.
Why don't you just say that the last portion of it is the only thing that's...
Because it's not so. Until the king takes what he takes, every piece of land and every piece of asset is mortgaged. Look at Rashbam. Rashbam says, Imken. Look at Rashbam, Imken. Imken, da'afilu sa'are dechada mishtabe lecharga. If you tell me even the guy's barley in his bucket is mishubad, hechi yitkayem akatuv. How are you going to fulfill the pasuk dechtiv? Bechol asher yimase lo. Whatever the father has, the kid gets double. Hare beota hamalchut batalta yirushat beno abechor. You mevatel the law of Yerusha. Why? Dechol mamon ha'av, all the money of the father, imet, velo para adayin, karga, he didn't pay this year's kargad de shanazu, havile mamono ra'ui. All his money is just, it's really not his yet, because there's still a lien on it from the government. The enu mozak boklal, ki mam melech. The shi'bud ha-melech adif mishe'ar shi'budim. The shi'bud of the king is very strong. Ukegavui dame. It's considered as if all the assets now are belonging to the king. Umiyu lab at kafta me'el yai. It's really not such a strong question, the Rashbam says. Why? Yeah, you're right. In those places where the law is like that, there'll be no din of the bechor. The law of bechor will apply in other countries. What's the big problem? The Gemara says, well, according to you, you in cities or in countries that have this law, there's not going to be a din of bechor. The Gemara can answer, okay, the law of bechor is going to be mevatel, but we'll keep the law of bechor somewhere else in countries that are not bound by this law. But the Gemara gives another scenario where the law can be applied. What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara says, before the Gemara gives an answer, the Gemara says, wait, you're asking on me, on Huna Baravim? Gemara says, Amar Avashe, Amar Yobad Natan Kashi Baramon, Emkei Batata Yerushat Beno Bechod Avile Ra'ui, Vena Bechod Yotel Kera'ui Bemuchzak, Amar Le'i Ache, what are you asking on Huna Baravim for? Afilu Taskaname. Let's say, guy, let's look at the other rabbi. The other rabbi said, only the land tax is Mishrobad to the land. So according to a guy that only has land, let's say, so at least land will never fall into the din of Yerushat Bechor. Because since the government can always have a lien on the land, and it's ra'ui then, it's not something that's his because it's still a lien on it. So if you're asking on the other rabbi a more general question. Everything is subject. Ask on the rabbi that holds on land tax. You also are going to mevatel Yerushat Bechor, regarding land. Because the government always has a lien on the land until the guy pays his taxes. So what are you going to say? Tiahiv taska umit. So I'll give you the case. Must be he paid his taxes that year, then he died. So if he pays his taxes before he dies, there's no lien on the property. That's the way you have it. That's the way you have bechor getting double. So to over, he paid his head tax, then he died. Which means if the guy pays his head tax before he dies, none of the property is a lien. Everything's fine. So just like you're going to answer me by land, but you all that while. Now, for the land tax, the land is Mishrobat. Okay, how are you going to have a case of Bechor? Very simple. The guy paid his taxes April 15th. He paid the land tax, right? That's it. He died April 16th. It's finished. So now there's no liens on anything. There's no liens on any property. The kid gets Bechor on the land. Similarly, you hold all the Metaltilin on Mishrobat. Say the same thing. The guy paid his head tax on April 15th. He died April 16th. He doesn't know anything. Therefore, he could take Yerushah from all the Metaltilin as well. Double. So there is a scenario which is going to be held. Amar Rav Asher, Amar Lihuna Bar Natan, She'eltinu Lesafre Derava. I asked the Sufrim, the scribes, the ones that write the Shtarot of Rava, Ve'amru Li, and they told me, Hilcheta Keravuna Bere Derav Yoshua. Talacha falls of Rav Derav Yoshua that says what? That even a head tax, everything is mortgaged to the head tax, which and therefore nafkamina is very big. Nafkamina is if a guy now goes and buys a field, because a guy is delinquent in head tax, and the government comes along and says, well, this guy is delinquent in head tax, take his field and pay the head tax. You take the field, zibineh, the field is going to be sold to him. It's the sale is a sale. And they even asked the Sofrim of Rava that write shtarot, they said, you always be right shtarot for these cases over here, and the sale is a sale. Well, so you see that it's very, 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 very good. So Gemara says, Velahi. But the truth of the matter is, it's not so. Hatam le'ukme miltehu de'amar. Over there, the Sofrim of Rava are not a good proof. Because they were saying, the halakha follows Ravuna b'Rid Rav Yoshua, because they wanted the shtarot to be valid. They were writing shtarot for these cases. They were writing, guy came to him and said, listen, the guy didn't pay his head tax, sell the field. You know, give the field to that guy. They wrote a start. Okay, we write a start over here that the field now belongs to them. So to validate the start that they wrote, they said, yeah, halakha is like Rav Yoshua. But not that really halakha is like that. Adrabah, Rashbam said halakha is the exact opposite, reverse of any of these opinions. Not only is not the head tax subject to the land, but even land tax. That means, according to the Maskana, even if, let's say, the Abadim of the king, say, listen, this guy didn't pay his land tax, take the field, zivineh lo zivineh. The sale is not a sale until you actually get a star. Look at that in the Rashbam. Look at that in the Rashbam, please. The Rashbam says, velahi. Hatam. You see that Rashbam first word on the line, Hatam. Le tilcheta kerabural Rabbi Yoshua. Te lo mishtabde lo karkaot ve lo metaltenin le karga. Now, when I said that, I mean for the karga. Karga is the head tax. When it comes to head tax, nothing is mishubad. Not metaltelin and not karka. The izavun the karka, and if you sold something for karga, for the head tax, lo aviz binu zivine. The karga kaftad gavramanach. The inu safred rava. These sofrim of rava, the amri, etc. They wanted to mekayim their words, because they were writing shtarot for head taxes. And therefore, they wanted the sales to go through because they were writing shtarot. They kayim maasim v'shtarot shekadvu al mechilat karkot shenu kule charga. Right? That was their inyanim. Mashe'enken, when it comes to land tax, then already we say the land is mishrobat for the land, and therefore, if somebody buys a piece of land, not buys, the government comes along and says, listen, the guy's delinquent, we didn't pay land tax, take the land. The guy that takes that land owns the land, so long as he just pays the tax. So for land tax, that's delinquent, you can take the land. And the zimine is zimine. But for chadaga, but for head tax, nothing. Not land and not metaltelin. Zero. Halakha does not follow Rav Yoshua. Rav Unab Rav Yoshua. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Vilahi. That's right. Ramah Rav Asher, new point. Pardechat. Who's a pardechat? Rashbam. Adam batel mebelacha. It's a batlan. An unemployed guy, doesn't work. Umilimud, doesn't learn. He's unproductive. Umederich eretz, he's not involved in normal way of living. Ve'en osik miyishtuvosh shel olam klal. He's not a productive guy. He's a batlan. So what is this guy? What do you want to know about this guy? Pardechat misayeya mata. He has to help with the tax burden of the city. What does it mean? He has to help with the tax burden. So look at the Rashba. Misayeya hu chayav be'ol kahal. He's got a share in the kahal's burden of taxes. Ve'afal pishu eno oseh revach ba'ir, even though he's not making any income. The Hani Midi, the Gemara says, keep one finger on Rashbam. The Hani Midi, the Atzelte Mata. That's only in the case where the town saved him. What does that mean, Rashbam? The Hani Midi, the Meselte Maska. When is he obligated to help in the tax burden? Kegon the Atzelte Mata. Avdei HaMelech Hayu Tuf'im Lo Lebado. Let's say the tax collectors came to this guy, this Batlan. And they said, we want money. Vehem Hitzinuhu. The Kahal came along and said, please give him a break. You know, the guy doesn't have anything. You know, don't go easy on him. They killed him a saw, betanotam, shenu alef, shenu mamon. They said, he doesn't have any money, this guy, leave him alone. But what happens? The government has a certain amount of money they get from every town. If this guy's not going to pay, everybody else has to chip in now more. They got to cover the shortfall. Right? Nitrabim mas shalahim, vechvid olan yoter. He takes a certain amount per year. He has a certain amount that he wants to get. They say, you know what? Listen, go easy on him. He doesn't have anything. What they diminish from this guy, they're going to collect from the other guy. So in that case over there, the people have a right to go to him and say, listen, You have to kick in. You know, we saved you from the tax, but you owe us that money. However, that's a pardechat. However, aval indiski siata dishmayai. But in the case of indiski, what's indiski? Hashbam memunim shel melech harigirim nigbot mekol bayit bebayit. They have the tax collectors. They go from house to house. Mikot ish ve'ish ad she'alei hasbon lemaskas until they get the amount. V'shachu leze. They forgot to go to this guy. His name wasn't on the list. They forgot him. Or lo ratzu l'shol l'klum. Or they said, you know what? Pass. We're not going to this guy. B'shvil shu adam batel. He doesn't have any money anyway. V'svurim ayu she'en lo mamon. V'gavu kol hamas. They collected all the tax plus whatever this guy didn't pay from the other people. Right? In that case over there, he's patud. You know why? Siyata deshmeya. He's lucky. He had siyata deshmeya. There, It was his good luck. You can't come here to say, yo, what, you got off the hook. I got off the hook. My mazal got me off the hook. The guy, he missed my house. The guy thought that I couldn't pay it, so he got off the hook. In the other case, we bidded for you. We went and we spoke. Listen, help the guy out. He doesn't have that. But you owe us the money. You got it. We'll kick it in for you now, but you have to pay us after. But if the government made the mistake and they didn't go after the guy, then the Rebbe Gemara says, Siyata Dishmaya. It is Siyata Dishmaya. It continues. Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Actually, Amar of Ase, Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Hametzer v'ahetzev mafsikin b'nikse hagir. Aval le'inyan pe'a v'tum'a lo. Okay, what is this? Let's right away go to the Rashbam. Hametzer v'ahetzev. Betzadot shel ger. Okay, you have two fields of a ger right next to each other. Ger that dies has no yorshim. All his assets are hefker. First one that comes and makes a kinyan owns it. So you have two assets of a ger next to each other. Umetzer echad benehem. What's a metzer? A border protrudes above the ground a little, like a protrusion from the ground of dirt, or whatever it may be, stones, that serves as a border between the two fields. If you make chazakah on one field, since there's a border, the border separates, and therefore you only koneh that field, you're not koneh the field that's next to it. We learned this already, b'shmat etan above. What's a hetzev? Alice explained the hetzev. Also an elevation. Let's say it's trees. Trees that were planted on the border, and the trees go straight down, like we'll see, and it divides the fields into two. Okay? So again, let's read that again inside. Hametzer v'ahetzev. Metzer is the border, the boundary. The hetzev is these trees that are planted that also forms as a border. Separates the fields within two. Person makes a chazakah on one. He does not automatically koneh the neighbor. However, le'anyan pe'ah v'tum'ah lo. When it comes to the law of pe'ah, no. What is the law? So Gemara can explain. Ki atar avina barav yohanan afidu le'pe'ah v'tum'ah. Even for Pe'ah and Tum'ah, it's considered a border. What are we talking about? Gemara. Pe'ah, mayhi. What is it talking about? Pe'ah, detnan. Ve'elu mafsikim le'pe'ah. Person has a field. He has to leave the corners of the field for the aniyim. That's called Pe'ah. There are certain items in a field that separate the field. And therefore, you have to leave on both sides corners. Which means, if you have one field, so you have to leave on the... on one of the corners, you leave for the aniyim. However, if the field is divided into two, so now you have to leave on the corner of one field and the corner of the other field. So therefore, there are certain items that separate a field for pe'ah. What are they? Hanachal. What's a nachal? Rashbam. Nachal. Kenachal etan. That's a rocky area. Nachal etan doesn't mean a river. It means an area that's filled with rocks. As shelo yaved bo v'lo yizara karka kasher. I don't mean karka kasher. Hard ground. Malit slorot ve'avanim shelo yizriya. That separates the field, and therefore you'd have to give pe'ah on both sides. Vashlulit. What is shlulit? Kivutzat megeshamim. It's a irrigated place where the rain gathers. Okay. Ma'kones son nadir. We learn my shlulit. Amar Avi Yudah Mar Shmuel. Ma'kom shesholim megeshamim. A place where the rain gathers. Rabbi Baya Mar Yohanan, Amat Amaim Hamechaleket Shlal La'agapeha. Or it's an area, it's a stream of water that it draws the loot to its neighbors. Which when you have water, what happens? The water gathers all the stuff and it spits it out to the sides. So it's called the Shlulit Melashon Shalal. Shalal is like loot. Therefore, the water collects all the stuff and puts all the stuff out, spits it out to its neighbors. The point is, if you have a stream of water separating the two fields, so pe'ah is considered two fields. What else? Vederech harabim. What's derech harabim? Taz amah. If you have, let's say, 16 amah, which is reshut harabim, separating between the two fields, that's considered a separation. Vederech hayachid. what's considered derech hayachid, that's like a shoot right, 4 amot. Now, if you tell me 4 amot, all the more so, 16, it's lo zu afsu. This whole Mishnah is lo zu afsu. You're right, it doesn't have to tell me that, but it said it anyway. Shvil harabim, what is shvil harabim? That's a area where people walk by. Rashbam says, sheolchim sham rabim beraglehem, aval derech harabim akom enuch agalot. Which means Derech Rabim is 16 Amma. Shvil Rabim is a place where just the, you know, public walks by. It's not so wide, but it's a public thoroughfare. Vishvil HaYachid, that's like a private road where Yahidim walk by. HaKavua, that's a, it's set. Ben Bimot HaChama, Ben Bimot HaGeshamim. Which means it's used the year round. Dashbam, I feel we want to get shemim. Even when it's rainy, normally people don't go in the streets. In the rainy season, they don't walk because people are planting, so they don't want to ruin the fields. They don't walk on the fields. However, in this area over here, since it's in the valley, there's no planting over there, so they walk permanently the whole year round. The point is, if any of these items are separating between two fields, it's considered a separation, and therefore what? You have to leave pe'ah on both sides. Now we go back to our machloket. Regarding to a metzer and a hesev, let's say you have these trees that are separating between the two fields, it's a machloket if it's still considered one field or two fields for pe'ah. If you say it's one field, then you have to leave on one corner and you're covered. If you say that these borders or these trees separate, then you have to leave on both sides. So it's a machloket and yan pe'ah that these items separate the field. Now let's learn the laws of tum'ah. Tum'ah mayhi, what's the case of tum'ah? Ditnan, hanichnas lebik'a bimote geshamim. Okay, a guy goes into a valley in the times of the rainy season. V'tum'ah besadeh plonit. And we notice tum'ah in one of the fields over there in the valley. The aman, the guy says, listen, halachti lemakom halaz. I walked to a certain place over there. Ve'en yodea im nichnasti le'oto makom im lav. But I don't know if I entered the place where the tum'ah was or not. Rabbi Eliezer metaher v'achamim metame'in. It's a machloket if the guy is tahor or not. We don't know the case yet. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain the case. Let's read the Rashbam. Tum'ah mayhi ma hefsek sheyach besader inyan tum'ah. What's the inyan of tum'ah in a field with this hefsek, with this border? Ditnan. This is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Next one, Bimot Geshamim. Havya Reshut HaYachid LeTum'ah. I'm reading Rashbam. Havya Reshut HaYachid LeTum'ah. A valley in the rainy season, not too many people go in the valley. So a valley has a deen of Reshut HaYachid. What's the law of Safek Tum'ah B'Reshut HaYachid? Remember the laws. Safek Tum'ah b'reshut ha-yachid, sefekot tameh. Safek tum'ah b'reshut ha-rabim, sefekot tahor. That's the rules. Okay, b'sefekot tameh, she'en malchim ba'bnei adam. People do not walk in the valley during the rainy season, not to ruin the planting over there. So it's reshut ha-yachid. Now he says, halachti l'makom alaz, I went into this valley. You guys admitting, I went into the valley. But I don't know if I encountered the tum'ah or not. Hachamim metameim, the sof sof, mali sade achat, mali bet sadot, hada sefekahi, shema halach hada keber vehil, shema lo halach sefekot tameh. Which is Hachamim says a sefek. You don't know if you walked into this field or to that field. One field has the tum'ah, one field doesn't have the tum'ah. He says, I definitely walked into the valley. There's a field over here, there's a field over there. One has the kefir, one doesn't have the kefir. See, in the truth of the matter, I don't know which one I walked into. Hachamim say, Safek tum'ah b'reshut ha-yachid, you have a safek, safeko, tameh. Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, tahor. How can it be tahor? So read the Gemara now. Rabbi Eliezer metaher v'hachamim metamim. Shehaya Rabbi Eliezer omer, Safek bi'ah tahor. Safek maga' tum'ah tameh. What does safek bi'ah mean? This guy has a safek. Did he even enter the field or not? So once you have that safek, we can create what's called a safek sefeka. A double safek. Safek, he entered that field. Safek, he didn't. And even if you want to say he did enter the field, maybe he wasn't mahil over the tum'ah.
which is that which we say sefek tumah b'rishut di'ayit sefekot tameh, that's one sefek. Hakamim look at it, it's one sefek. Did you go or didn't you go? They don't break it up like that. They look at it, bottom line, there's two fields of it. Did you go on this one? Did you go on that one? They have a sefek, sefek tumah b'rishut di'ayit sefekot tameh. The answer is no. Sefek bi'ah is a sefek sefekah. Sefek, did I go on this field? Sefek, I went on the field of the tumah. And even you went on the field of the tumah, who says you walked up to the kever and actually the ma'il? So the Rebbe is going to say sefeko tahor. Look at Rashi, Rashbam. Sefek bi'ah tahor. Hechad de misafkele im nichnas pe'ota sedeh. The imtav shalman nichnas. Sefek im ba'ad makoma tumah im lav. Vesefek sefekahu v'tahor. אבל היקה דנקה אלא ספק מגע. Let's say he knows he went into that field. He just has a ספק if he touched the kever or not. That's one ספק. פשיטה דנכנס, פשיטה דנכנס אותה שדה. He knows he went into that field. אלא שספק לו אם נגע בקבר, אם לאו, הדה ספקהו ותמה. Now let's apply this law of טומאה to the two fields. One has טומאה, one doesn't. And it has a mitzid, a border separating, or these trees that are separating. What's the nafkamina? It says, Helkach Rabbi Eliezer, Im mafsik mitzid veheset bintayim, v'tum'ah b'achat men, v'en yodeh be'ezim nechnas safek bi'ahu v'ta'or. Which is, he looks at it as if the mitzid separates the two fields. Now it's considered two fields. Therefore you have a safek, safekah. Since he considers a border separating the fields into two, and you have a sefek, which side you walked into, now you did have a sefek sefeka. But if you would look at the border as not separating the field, it's one field. So that's already considered sefek maga. You know you walked into the one field. You just don't know if you touched or not. So the Bili Ezer holds le'enyan tum'ah also, the field actually separates. Therefore, the guy says, I know I walked into the valley. I don't know if I walked on the field that has the kever or not. They consider two fields. You know why? Because you have the border separating. The ileka metzer mentayim, but if you don't have the border separating, then it's already one safek. Because you know he was in the valley. And you know he was in that one field. The safek is if he touched the kever or not, that's safek maga. Safek maga is considered safeko tameh. Good? So let's just review where we're holding until now, till we get to the next point. So we're talking about two fields that have a border in between. We gave a nafkamina if they belong to a ger. So if you were mahazik one field, you don't automatically own the other field. The border separates them. Beautiful. Le'enyan pe'ah machloket. One rabbi says the fields are considered one, therefore you only have to leave pe'ah on one side. Another rabbi says no, they're separate, therefore you have to leave pe'ah on two sides because of two fields. Next nafkamina, le'enyan tum'ah. Le'inyan tum'ah, Rabbi Eliezer says, the mitzvah also separates the fields. Le'inyan, if you have a sefek in which one you went into, you have a sefek sefekah, and therefore sefeko tahor. Now we're going to discuss another mahloket, two fields next to each other, with a border, le'inyan Shabbat. Now how can this be a nafkamina for Shabbat? So the Gemara says, Aval le'Shabbat lo. The Gemara makes a diyuk, which means dafka le'inyan tum'ah, it's considered separate. But le'inyan, the laws of Shabbat, the border does not separate the fields, and the fields are going to be considered as one. However, right. However, Rava Amar afilu le'inyan Shabbat. Rava says, even for the laws of Shabbat, we consider the fields separate. Now again, what law of Shabbat is this talking about? Let's review laws of Shabbat. Carrying, exactly. The law is like this. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbat, from the Shuta Yahayt to the Shuta Rabim, that we know. There's a certain shi'ur that you hayav to carry. Less than that shi'ur, you're patur. What's the shi'ur? Giroget. Giroget is like a dried fig. The shi'ur of a dried fig, that's the shi'ur to be hayav on Shabbat. When you're carrying food stuff. Sure, just can't go get it. Now the Gemara says a halakha. Let's read inside. Netanya. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines at the bottom. Hotsi hatsi grogeret reshut terabim. Shabbat. Guy took half the grogeret from reshut yachid, put it in reshut terabim. Vinichai, put it down.
וחזר והוציא חצי גרוגרת אחרת בעלם אחת, and he went and then took another half, and he put it down. The question is, can you mitzaref the two halves to be a hayav korban? The deen is, if you did it in one forgetting, hayav. Hey, alim is a lapse. What does it mean? You didn't know it was Shabbat. You forgot it was Shabbat. And your forgetting lasted until you brought the second half. So there was one lapse the whole way through. After you put the second half down, you said, oh, Shabbat. Then the deen is, the lapse is mitzaref, both halves. Now you have a full grogeret. Now you hayav, like you took a shi'ur, you hayav korban hatat. Okay, that's the first shita. That in one he'elim, chatzi and chatzi becomes hayav. However, b'shnei he'elimot patur. But if it's in two lapses, meaning you forgot it was Shabbat, you brought a half out. Okay, then you remembered, oh, Shabbat today. Then you forgot again and brought another half. The two remember, the remembering in between separates the two items. Mm-hmm. So you patur from korban hatat. That's shitat hachamim. Rabbi Yosef Omer, be'alem achat, birshut achat, hayav, b'shte rishuyot patur. Rabbi Yosef has a hadush. He says, he'alem achat is not enough to mitzaref. It's got to be in one lapse, and it also has to be in the same reshut, meaning you brought the half in the same reshut terabim as the first half. You have one reshut terabim, right? You took half into this reshut terabim, then you took another in the same reshut terabim, in one ni'alim, where Tanakhama doesn't make a haluk. But the biosis is to be hayab in one ni'alim for one grogeret, it's got to be in the same reshut terabim. No, not the same exact spot, but the same reshut terabim. Could be there's two reshut terabims in the area. You have to bring it in the stat reshut terabim. Okay? Look at the Rashbam. Bereshut terabim atzma sheotzi b'chatzi grogeret rishon be'ota atzmo hotzi acharon. The same reshut terabim. Ve'amar Rava, so Rava explains now. Ve'hu sheyesh hayuv chatat b'nehem. What makes two distinct reshut terabims? Rabbi explains. Let's say I have a reshut terabim on the right, I have a reshut terabim on the left. There's something in between. What's in between? A reshut yahid. That's called the chayuv hatat zone. Why? Because if I go from any of these reshut yahids to the middle zone, to the reshut yahid zone, I'm chayuv hatat. Reshut terabim to reshut yahid. Or reshut yahid to reshut terabim. This would mean mechayev me a hatat. So Rava says, what constitutes separate reshut terabims? So long as you have a chayuv chatat reshut in between. For example, let's go the other way. Let's say you only had a karmelit in between. Now, going from a karmelit to a reshut terabim is only the rabbanan. Right? It doesn't separate. These are considered one reshut terabims. So if I took hatzi grogeret in this reshut terabim, and then hatzi grogeret in the one to its side, it's considered one. The only time it's considered separate is when you have a reshut yahid in between. Read that in the Gemara. Amar Rava, second line. Vehu sheyesh chayuv chatat b'nehem. Abal karmelit lo. Okay? Watch what Abaye says. Abaye amar, afilu karmelit. Even if you have a karmelit, it separates. And therefore you'll be patur. If you took one hatsi in one and one hatsi in the other. Aval pisla lo. What's a pisla? Rashbam writes, a piece of wood. Or a plank of some sort. That's not even high 10 tefachim. And it's not wide 4 tefachim. Right? Or either it's high 10. Gavoa yud ila she'en rochav dalid. Right? It's a mekom petur. It's a plank. 10 high, less than 4. Or less than 10. And 4. Point is, it's a small plank that already doesn't separate in between. However, Rava Amar, Afilu Pisla. Even a plank of 4 tefachim in between the two reshuyot separates. So you have different degrees. Everybody agrees, according to the Biyoseh, it's got to be the same reshut terabim. The question is, what makes the same reshut terabim? First Rabbi says, so long as you have a reshut yachid in between, they're separate. Rabbi says, you don't need a reshut yachid.
Even a karmelit separates. Other rabbi says, not only a karmelit separates, even a pisla, even just a plank of wood for the b'ayim separates. At different degrees. Continue the Gemara. Raval the ta'ame. Raval that says even a pisla separates the shoot rabbis is following his reasoning. Why? What does Rava say? Damar Rava, reshut Shabbat, kirshut gitin dameh. What's the law of a get? The law of a get is like this. Guys, they want to give a get to his wife. Halakha says, you can throw the get into her reshut. Doesn't have to go with her hands. So long as it gets into her reshut, it lands into her reshut is konefa, and therefore she's divorced. Let's say she doesn't have a reshut. So the husband can be makneh, a piece of his reshut, to his wife, to her. Now she owns a little piece of his reshut. And he can throw the get into his own reshut, but it's not his reshut, it's the wife's reshut. He did that. He was makneh, a little area in his reshut. He threw the get, and the get landed on the pisla. It landed on this little plank that was separating between his reshut and the reshut that he just... This is a mash on the plank. According to Rava, he says, no, it's not a get. It's considered a separation. And therefore, it's not considered a part of her reshut. The plank is a reshut bifne atzma. And it's its own domain. Therefore, you didn't put it in another domain. So just like he holds by get, that the plank assumes its own domain, so too by Shabbat, the plank assumes its own domain. Now let's go back to our story. You have two fields, okay? Let's say the fields are the shutara beams, and you have this border in between, okay? So therefore, the inyan Shabbat means that according to Rava, these fields over here are going to be considered separate. And therefore, if you took a hatzigro grot in one field, and a hatzigro get it in another field, according to Rabbi Yosef, you'll be patur. Because just like a plank can separate the two items, so too this little border also can separate the two inyanim. And therefore, that's what it means in Inyan Shabbat. Let's read that in Rashbam now. You see, Kirshut Gitin Dameh, it's the big Rashbam, that's the one we have to read. The Amri Mebasekat Gitin, Hazorek, the Imekna La Chatzero Litgarish. You give your wife, guy gave his wife a piece of his field to get divorced. Vizarak La Git. Venafal ala pisla. It landed on the plank. Shebechatzir. Enam migureshet. Why? Deha pisla. Makom acheru bifne atzmo. It's its own domain. Ve'eno bechlal chatzir. Vechatzir iknala. Ve'lo pisla. He gave a chatzir. He didn't give a chatzir plus pisla. Dehat makom mushil inche. Today we come out no mushil inche. When a person, let's say, lends somebody a property, you lend one property, you don't lend two properties. Hakim efreshin la'atam. The kamar ava reshut Shabbat domel reshut gitin. Da'achan amel yan Shabbat avya hach pesla makom chashuv befne atzmo umehalek reshuyot. Just like on Gittin, it's a separate entity. Sotun Yan Shabbat is Pesla separates the two fields. Imu Mimutza Ben Time, of course, if it's in between them. Dichieki de lo batil Pesla gabe Chaser. Just like the Pesla is not batil to the Chaser by Gittin. Hachanami lo batil Achan the Enyan Shabbat gabe Reshut Rabim. So too, even though it's two Reshut Rabim on the side, you're not going to say, well, this Pesla is nothing. It's one Reshut Rabim. No. The Pesla is its own domain. Nafka mina for the Biyose. That if a person now goes and takes Hatzigro Gorot in one and Hatzigro Gorot in the other, since you hold that the Pisla separates, so do the Metzir separate, if you're not going to be Hayab e Korban, Hatat. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen.